Welcome to Wellness Renaissance and Gluten-Free and Other Special Diets podcast, supporting you on your unique journey to finding your best health. Hey there, thanks for listening. Today I am going to share with you a conversation that I had with Michelle DeNoble. Michelle is a cranial sacral therapist. Well, actually, interesting situation. Was a cranial sacral therapist when I spent time with her a little while back, and due to some needs changing within her family, she is actually not doing the work right now. She is actually working in another capacity, helping people, and very happy. So all is well, and she absolutely believes in the work. That has nothing to do with her shift at all. And so with her blessing, we are going to put this information out into the world. Certainly the information and her experience is very much valid. And I think this really is important to share to help people understand cranial sacral work. At the end of the podcast, I will share information for Deb, the person that Michelle recommends and worked with as she was learning and apprenticing, also mentions during our conversation. And I'll put another resource out there as well. Before I do that, however, and after I close out our conversation, I have added a snippet about one of Michelle's clients who was a headbanger as a child. And she talks a little bit about why that might happen in the body and then her working with that person. Now we'll head into the conversation. Today I have Michelle DeNoble with me, who is a cranial sacral, would you say, therapist?
Yes.
I've had the pleasure of working with Michelle, so I've had a good opportunity to kind of understand what this work is about, which was really great because I've had cranial sacral work, but I've never gone to somebody where that's all they do. So it was really exciting for me to experience that. Michelle, I want you to share with us what that is, what drew you to this path.
Okay. Again, my name is Michelle DeNoble. My business is called Balancing Body Works. I've been in business for about 7 years now, and I've been practicing craniosacral therapy for probably about 10. I honestly have always been very skeptical of alternative modalities prior to my experience with craniosacral therapy for the first time. And I was pregnant back in 2004 with our second son, Isaac. And we had hired a doula at that time, and she was also a craniosacral therapist.
Nice.
And so she, as part of the doula package, she would work on my body, and I felt really good. I always assumed that pregnant women were supposed to have pain, you know, particularly round ligament pain or SI joint pain. You know, that was just part of the package of being pregnant. And she really taught me otherwise. It made a huge difference in the way that my body felt and how my pregnancy went. And I believe that it made a big difference in how the birth process went as well. So that was one part of it. The other part of it that was really significant beyond that was when our son Isaac was born, and he came really fast and hard, and he was a very rigid baby as a newborn. He was like bright red, and he had this little crease on his nose, and I really didn't think anything of it at the time. Again, you know, I'm totally ignorant to what needs to be done or what the body could use. Sure. And so the next day, our doula came over and she worked on him. And he was a completely different kid after she had worked on him. His color had normalized. His body was more relaxed. We could actually extend his legs. The little crease in his nose was gone. I mean, he looked like a different kid. And there were a lot of other women that were in the room at the time that he was being worked on. Isaac was born at home, and so we just had the luxury of sitting around with all these really great women in the birthing community and watching this unfold, and they were all amazed at how different he looked. So that was my first experience with my child in craniosacral therapy, and life went on, and as Isaac began to grow, I started noticing that his head was becoming misshapen. So it was like somebody actually had taken his cranium and twisted it.
Oh, wow.
There was a lot of distortion in it, and it was alarming to me. So I went back in to see Deb, and she said, well, if this continues in the direction that it's going, it's likely that he might need a helmet. Let's see what we can do to resolve this without having to go that path. So she began treating him, and one day she said, you know, there's a craniosacral therapy class in the cities that Dr. Carol Phillips is teaching. It's a weekend intensive, and we're going to be working on babies. Would you like to come down and have him be a case study?
Oh, cool.
Right. So I said, sure, I'd love that. So we went down, not really knowing what to expect. And in the afternoon that she worked on him, and others too, because everyone in the class has an opportunity to do some hands-on work, his head shifted. And it was almost like it had normalized just in the blink of an eye. And so what had happened, as I learned, is that he had restrictions in the tissue of his cranium that was not allowing, you know, his brain, as it grows, to expand the cranium out. So it was tight on one side. So the brain was just growing and expanding the cranium out in the direction that it could.
Okay.
It totally changed our lives in that sense that, you know, it was such a fast shift. I thought, wow, there really is something to this. And over the course of time, Deb would teach me things to do with Isaac at home. And I just really fell into it naturally and just really began to believe in the work. And recognized that I had some incorrect perceptions of alternative work and alternative modalities and how helpful they really can be in people's lives. And so I fell into it naturally. And I found myself going down and taking, you know, the level one intensive over the course of a weekend because I realized I needed more body work. And then going back for level two and level three and all the way up through level five. And when I finished the coursework, then I was asked by Deb if I would apprentice with her. So I apprenticed with her for 2 years. And that's how it started.
Wow, that's really awesome. It's so cool when you can have that, just such a quick response to be able to just see, there's no question, this is shifting mm-hmm. everything. And we all want that for ourselves and our bodies, and we don't all get that. But but what a great thing for you as a therapist to just be able to have this unquestionable, oh my gosh, this changed our world. But I think it's interesting how many people have come to their therapy or whatever complementary modality from a place of skepticism. And I think that that's really great for people to hear, you know, that it isn't that you grew up your entire life thinking these alternative things are the way to go. It's those experiences. And I think that's a great thing to share.
Okay, so the training is over the course of a year, and there's five levels of intensives, she calls them. Dr. Carol Phillips is the one that teaches. Level one pertains primarily to the protocol of pretty much everything from the neck down. Typically, level one introduces you to the protocol that Dr. Carol Phillips uses to treat people, and it's a full body approach. She teaches something called myofascial unwinding, which is part of how you do craniosacral therapy. It's the method that you use to unwind restrictions in connective tissue and fascia in order to balance the craniosacral system.
Okay.
So that's all your bones and membranes and fluid that surround the brain and the spinal cord. It's critical for all life processes for this system to function optimally. Most people don't even really give a thought to that being its own separate physiological system in the body, but it is. Level two is where we spend more time talking about the autonomic nervous system and the craniosacral protocol. So we're really working on the cranium at that point in how it ties into the sacrum and how that functions together. And the system itself has its own rhythm and pulse, and there's a specific reason why we cover those in one class. Level three, we focus on pregnancy and childbirth and the unique needs of a pregnant woman and what craniosacral therapy can do to help her stay more comfortable during her pregnancy. Level four pertains more to infant issues, you know, things like traumatic birth, like colicky babies,
Those
types of things. And also in level four, we spend more time talking about the craniosacral system and its pulse and how that functions and the purpose of it. And in level five, we spend time on the visceral cranium, which means we're doing intraoral work. We're actually getting inside the mouth and working to release restrictions in the cranial cavity.
Okay. There's a lot of stuff going on in the mouth. So that makes sense. I think we don't necessarily think about that or know that, how much goes through our jaw and our mouth and all of that stuff. So very, right. very thorough. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting.
Yeah, it is a top-to-bottom approach.
So talk about kind of maybe what exactly, you know, maybe a little bit more detail, what you actually do with the person, where you're working on them, and maybe even just what a session looks like working with you.
Okay, so I think I want to start out and just talk about why we would treat the whole body, okay. why that's important. Most people do just think of, when they hear the word craniosacral, they think of someone just working on their head. But we treat the whole body because what I'm really working on is fascia and connective tissue. So I'm working to unwind restrictions in connective tissue and fascia. Fascia is all one sheet. As you grow in utero, it envelops all of your organs, your nerves, your muscles. It's the web that holds everything together. Your skeletal system gives you structure. Your muscles enable you to move your skeletal system. But it's your fascial net that holds all of that together. So it's all connected. So you may have a restriction in one part of your body that perhaps is manifesting in another. So let's say you have a pelvis that is imbalanced, or you have a restriction in your hip, but it's causing headaches. The restriction is causing problems further on up the line. Mm-hmm. So if we don't treat the hip, we may not resolve the headaches. If we just treat the head thinking that we're going to resolve the headaches, we may not, you know, do that. We're not going to get to the root of the problem. So we treat the whole body to unwind the restrictions so that the cranial sacral system can function at peak efficiency. So in a session, it's a dynamic form of body balancing, so to speak. So I'm moving people around. I treat people fully clothed because of that. I generally am doing a fair amount of talking because I'm asking more questions about what they're feeling, or perhaps if I'm coming upon some type of restriction somewhere, I might want to ask them, what's going on in your shoulder? Or what happened with your knee? And so there's generally a fair amount of dialogue. When a person comes in, one of the first things I do with them is a standing sacral release, which I just have them stand and face the wall and put their hands on the wall for support and then unwind their sacrum in that way. We move from there to the table where we progress from the feet up to the head, unwinding legs and then arms, diaphragms of the body like the respiratory diaphragm. And there's some work that we do where they're lying face down, and depending on how their session goes, I might also do some cranial works with them seated in a chair. It really depends upon the needs of the client at the time. But we always finish with the cranial work, which is actually where I do put my hands on the cranium. And just using the bones as handles, I'm not manipulating, I'm not adjusting like a chiropractor would. I'm just using the bones as handles to just put enough traction on the tissue so that it can begin to unwind. And then I follow that and just help the body release that restriction.
I am very fascinated with all the different types of body work that are out there because they all have their own, what they bring to a person. And I think it's an interesting point that you're not adjusting like a chiropractor. I just want to highlight that a little bit. It's a whole body. I mean, I know when you worked on me, you worked on everything, but it was very gentle. And because I know there are some people that's a concern for them, or kind of that jostling, or whatever the appropriate way to describe that would be. But from what you're doing, it's very gentle and you're not having those intensive shifts. They're more gentle mm-hmm. with the work that you're doing.
That's correct. The touch is light. It doesn't need to be heavy or deep. You know, deep tissue work has its place. This is just a different modality, a different method of releasing restrictions. And again, the intention is to target the fascia. It responds differently than a muscle would, per se, than a knot in a muscle would. And so with all I'm trying to do is I'm using just a little bit of compression, like for example on a joint where I'm just compressing it gently, or I'm distracting or stretching an arm, per se, just enough to take slack out of the tissue, not so much that the muscles will respond, but just to take the slack out of the tissue so that the fascia can begin to release. And then the dynamic form of the body where it comes in as I move that body part or move my hands over that body part to release that restriction. I'm really just helping the body unwind something that it wants to let go of. It's like releasing a spring, but doing it in a very gentle and intentional way.
So it's even less kind of invasive or intense than a massage.
It can be, yes. I really feel like there are people out there that are afraid of body work for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Perhaps it could just be lying naked under a sheet with a stranger in the room. Mm-hmm. For some people, that's very uncomfortable. Some people have come from a place of not having safe touch in their lives. And body work, in general, can be very helpful for people in their healing process, not just physically, but emotionally as well. I feel like this is a very good starting point for people because they can remain fully clothed. The touch is light and very gentle. And for some people, particularly with people with fibromyalgia, mm-hmm. or other chronic pain, they don't want a lot of pressure. It's too painful for them. Mm-hmm. This can help jumpstart their healing process and get them to a place where perhaps they can get a massage or they can see the chiropractor and they actually can hold their adjustments, or they might be more open to acupuncture. So I feel like it's a really good starting place for people to come if they've not had body work, mm-hmm. and are interested in trying it. They've got chronic pain. They're, you know, not up for a deep tissue type of work.
Right.
This can get them pointed in the right direction.
From all the experiences I've had, I would wholly agree with you. And I know people who being touched for them is a big deal. And I know people who have gone through the process of doing something which kind of ends up to be a gateway into being able to do some more things. But if you've had body work, then the first thing you had was really intensive or wasn't done by a good practitioner or whatever and can be scary. If anybody's had those experiences and they want to try something, I think this is a great opportunity. I love your ability to kind of go in and check everything out and help everything support itself. I think we forget how complex the body is and how things really do connect with each other in ways we can't even comprehend, even if we've taken anatomy classes. I mean, like you're saying, sometimes you got to work on the hip to get to the head. I know when I had a weird thing happen with a muscle in my hip, I was working with a Rolfer at the time. And yeah, it was my neck. That's how this was. I had my neck just completely seize up. And yeah, and he worked on my hip. You know, so I think we don't realize that. And I remember talking about that to people at the time. And they were like, what? Are you sure this guy's for real?
Right.
You know? Like, but I can move. And I think helping people understand that and having that experience, I think the ability to experience that is so great. We are a complex system. And then we deal with a lot of our medicine sort of in the silos of where we're having a problem. So we don't, you know, you don't typically go to your doctor typically and discuss what's going on with you and have them talk about other things that might be affecting it, or, you know, oh, well, this part of your back hurts, but if this is restricting the blood flow and then the nerves are getting cut up, you know, we don't have those discussions so much. It's kind of like, okay, what medicine can we take? Or maybe, you know, maybe they'll suggest a body or worker of some sort if you're lucky, but there are so many options and so many different things out there that I think a lot of people aren't even aware of that can provide such great support to all of the other stuff that we're doing. Because, you know, you're not necessarily saying, okay, come to me, and then you don't need anything or anybody else. You're saying, hey, I'm supporting a different part of the body to help, you know, like you said, it's you could hold your adjustments better, you know, if all of these things are kind of in line. And we don't talk about our fascia so much. Mm-hmm. You know, we typically talk about our bone structure or the organs. Right. So to even know that this thing is happening and how it affects us and how it all works and how it can get wound up, it's a really important thing that we don't we just aren't so aware of. Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, I usually start when I talk about fascia, I tell people or I ask people, you've taken skin off a chicken, right? You know, when you take the skin off the chicken, there's that semi-translucent layer that's right between the skin and the meat. Mm-hmm. That's fascia. Mm-hmm. It's not real stretchy. You know, it has to hold everything together, but it does get injured just like other tissues in the body, muscles would as well. And when it gets stretched or injured in some way, it puts restriction on the blood vessels and the nerves that pass through it, or the organ that sits in it, you know, that it forms a pocket around. If there's a torsional injury, you can just imagine, we'll just take like one of those mesh bags of apples. Mm-hmm. If you were to twist that up, how does that look as you twist that up? How does that look on either end of the bag? And what is it doing to the apples on the inside?
Right.
If you twist it enough, how is it squeezing those?
Right.
And how good is it going to be for that? It's really the same with our organs and with our nerves and our blood vessels that run through the fascia. How is that impacted? So if you're decreasing blood flow and restricting your nerve response to that organ and back to the brain and so on and so forth, what is that going to do long term to the functioning of that organ system or to that part of the body? Eventually, it's going to result in some form of dis-ease, as I like to call it.
Right, yeah.
So releasing those restrictions doesn't just help the craniosacral system, but it has a whole body benefit.
Right. And sometimes it's things you maybe don't feel right away, but sometimes it's going to be things that you do feel right away. Even blood flow to particular organs or particular parts of your body, you can feel that. It just feels different where you can breathe better. Mm-hmm. I think that was one of the things that I walked out from here is that I was able to stand up a little straighter and I could breathe. Mm-hmm. And it's just having all of that work just, you know, together and more fluidly is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, another thing that has benefited clients when they've come in is as you're doing this work, you're really balancing out the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system. And so it has a very calming response on the body. It's been very helpful for some people to come in, particularly during periods of high stress, and get on the table. So a lot of people fall asleep. I try not to disturb them too much. But I have to do the work. But they fall asleep, and they wake up, you know, they come to at the end of a session, and they're like, I just feel so much more relaxed and more calm. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of one of the side, I guess, positive side effects of having the work done.
Right. Well, and that makes sense. When you think of even just muscularly, when we tighten all our muscles and we let them go, and we exhale, how beneficial that can be. But to go in and actually kind of move things around and let that go, you know, that's a whole different kind of stress release.
It is. I have a client that says that he feels like his whole body can breathe after he's had a session.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. And that's like one of those things when I think of somebody who might be listening who's just never done anything like this. I totally understand what he's saying, you know, and you don't like get that until you can experience it. You know what I mean? To really understand what that means and that, yeah, to kind of be done with something like this, this kind of work, and to be able to just in a totally different way, and it just feels different, and it's hard to explain, but that's a great description. Yeah. Thanks. For sure. So just getting back a little bit to the experience of actually seeing you. So one of the things that you do the first time you see somebody is really look at their whole medical history, mm-hmm. kind of just really get an idea of where they're at, what things you might be finding, and talk about maybe a little bit how that's helpful for you.
You know, it's like putting together the pieces of a puzzle, I always say. I love to hear people's stories, and I love to put puzzles together in this way. But it's really important because traumas and injuries that have happened a long time ago in a person's life, even a birth trauma, can have an effect on their body and how they carry themselves even today. So when I sit down with someone for the first time, we do spend a lot of time talking about, you know, what accidents and injuries have you had? what emotional traumas have you suffered in your life? You know, whether it's like divorce or death, you know, loss of a loved one, physical or sexual abuse. I mean, it all ties into how we carry our body. And so we really try to explore what things has this person experienced in their past that might lend themselves to what they're experiencing in their body today. And I even ask them what they know about their own birth and their own time in utero and try to pull those pieces in. And some people can answer that and others can't. And that's okay. That's okay. You know, and if they forget things, that's okay too. Oftentimes it comes out during the midst of a session where I might say, I'm feeling, you know, your back is really restricted in this area. And they'll say, oh yeah, I had surgery. Or, you know, why is it that I'm feeling like this knee is so tight? Oh yeah, I had surgery on that knee. Or I fell on it, or, you know, whatever the case might be. But it's really important for me to kind of put those pieces together, because then I know when I start working on their body, I have an idea of what I might find.
But it is kind of an affirming for a person to be able to have somebody else pick that up. And it helps them understand that there is more going on in our body. Our bodies tell a story. And sometimes people can pick that up, like you're saying. That's what you do when you're feeling the tightness or whatever. And I think that from a perspective of a client in any type of therapy, body therapy, I think that's a really huge thing to experience. It really helps. It helps you know not only that the practitioner is really picking up what's going on, but it also is letting you know that your body still is telling that story. Mm-hmm. Of what's going on.
Right.
And so it kind of helps remind you, wow, I've got to figure out how to release, get this out of my body, let it go, or let it find a new path, which is kind of what you're doing with old injuries. Mm-hmm. Our emotional stuff affects our physical stuff. And then mm-hmm. I've certainly heard multitudes of stories of people releasing physical blocks or physical tightness, and the emotional stuff starts to come with that.
It's true.
Yeah. Which is always so amazing when we think about it, because we think they're just very, yes, they're connected, but we still think they're very separate. And to have the muscular, or even, you know, when you're against the fascia and just the stuff that's going on in our physical body mm-hmm. being released and having that affect our mind and our emotional state is kind of phenomenal.
It is phenomenal. But we are, you know, all one being, you know, our mind, body, spirit. I mean, it's all connected. You can't put them into separate silos,
right,
as you say. And although we like to compartmentalize them, it comes in as a package when a person walks through the door. All of that comes in with them.
Right, right.
And so I have to approach each client with that in mind, and which is why we go through the health history. Mm-hmm. And we don't just talk about what's happened physically, but, you know, what have they experienced emotionally as well?
Right.
And how might that be impacting their body?
A good example of holistic health right there.
That's right.
Taking care of everything. It's great.
So learning the protocol, going through the training, you know, the five levels, the intensives over the course of a year, I think is just one piece of it. I mean, you can teach, anyone can learn the protocol. Anyone can learn really to do the work, but it was the apprenticeship that made the big difference, because it was there where I actually got to treat clients with an experienced practitioner there and bounce, you know, ideas and feelings off of her, saying, this is what I think I'm feeling. What are you feeling? Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, there might be some variability because we're all, you know, unique in the way we experience things, but it was very affirming to have that guidance. And you really, I mean, once you learn the protocol, the rest of it is the experiential learning as you put your hands on people's mm-hmm. bodies and really develop the proprioception, the ability to feel where the tightness, you know, where the restriction is in the fascia, and then how does that need to move in order to release, right, and moving it in that direction. So you just develop that experiential knowledge or that sense of knowing over time and treating people.
2 years, that's a...
Yeah, and, you know, you have to keep in mind, it wasn't a full-time
thing. Sure, for sure.
but it, over the course of 2 years, and it was very beneficial because I was able to treat a variety of clients. Deb McLaughlin of Northern Lights Wellness here in Duluth, you know, she was the one that got me going in this, and I owe a lot to her. Her focus was babies, she's still in practice, her focus is babies and pregnant women, and so I treat a lot of babies and pregnant women in the course of my time with her, and it was just a very, very valuable experience. I don't know how you could step into a modality like this and not have that experiential training that goes into it.
So the apprenticeship isn't necessarily a requirement at all? Is that correct, or is that something you did because that's how you wanted to approach?
That is the way of training in craniosacral therapy.
Okay.
There's no licensure, so there's no specific set of rules that say this is what you must do.
Gotcha.
Within the field, I guess, of craniosacral therapy, it is what you do. You apprentice, because you can't develop that skill to learn how to feel with your hands without putting your hands on lots of people.
That
and
makes
having
a lot
someone,
of sense.
Yeah, having someone work through that with you and teach you
what
you're feeling and what you're experiencing and what needs to be done. Yeah, I mean, each person is unique, and their set of circumstances and what they bring with them when they walk in the door is unique to them.
Right.
And so there are no two clients that are alike. Every person that comes in here is, and their needs are vastly different. And being able to take their health history, you know, those pieces of the puzzle, and then apply that to what's going on in their body. It's like solving mysteries.
Right.
Every day.
Oh, that's a great way to look at it. And it's a great way to approach it. So you're client base, just to get an idea of maybe not necessarily just your specific client base, but for people who may think, oh, you know, I don't have a massive injury, I don't need this or that kind of thing. You know, who might need this work or who might benefit from this work?
Well, I can tell you who I primarily see, and we'll start with that. I certainly see people in the spectrum of the age, you know, from newborns all the way up to however high you want to go on the elderly end there.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of people that come to me come because they have some type of chronic pain, or they've had an injury and they have not been able to resolve the pain from that injury, or it's created other problems. So perhaps someone who's been in a car accident and has had whiplash, let's say. They are continuing to have headaches, or now they're having low back pain, which wasn't something that they experienced at the time of the accident. So there's something there, you know, still that's, and they've been to physical therapy, and they've been maybe even to the chiropractor, you know, or they've been to the pain clinic, and all of these other areas are, you know, these are all very purposeful modalities and resources that we have in town, you know, in the area, and I don't want to discount those at all, but they're really, a lot of them are looking at maybe staring, you know, down surgery as the last resort, and they don't want that. And so they start looking at what their alternative modalities are. Is there somebody else out there that can possibly help me get my life back or part of my life back? And those are the vast majority of clients that I see. I do see a fair amount of pregnant women and children that come to me through various resources in the community,
mm-hmm.
which they're always fun to work with. Just because of that, you know, the new life, you know, they're going to birth new life, or there's this new life that's been born, and they're so, especially babies, they're so malleable, and they don't have a lot of baggage, and so they just release their restrictions so easily, and so the results are dramatic with an infant, you know, and from my own experience, you know, with our son, I can tell you that. That is probably the vast majority of people that I see. I would say most of my clients are women in their middle age.
Wow. When I think of the work you do, I think of it, anybody who has fascia and any stress in their life could probably benefit. And then I think of how awesome for these infants who get to come in and do this kind of work before you've got all of the memory that is attached to your windings. Right? And it's, you know, it's so much easier the younger you can do these things that in an ideal world, like in my little utopia, you know, well, I guess in my utopia we wouldn't have stress, but...
Right. That would be a good thing.
But in the whole, if everybody could be able to do work like this when they're young and before they need it.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to get the stuff before, I mean, I'm trying to think of just a good example in the world of whenever you can stop something from slightly getting messed up, you know, or out of whack, it's just better for everybody in the long way. You know, trying to pull knots out of my headphones is is a chore, where if I didn't let it get in there in the first place, or I got the first knot, it's a lot easier to deal with.
Right.
So that's the best example I can come up with in the moment. But yeah. Just because I spent 3 minutes trying to get my headphones untangled the other day, going, you know, if I would have just put them on the little windy thing, I wouldn't have this issue. But I just think it's fantastic. You know, birthing is it's an intensive process, just the process of being born. So it makes sense to me that we could start out with just things that aren't quite right and loose. And yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, it's a great place to start. And, you know, with babies... Like I said, they unwind easily, and not all of them have traumatic births, you know. Maybe they sat kind of funny in utero, though, you know, and so there's some restriction in their body as a result of that, and yeah, the birth process is intense. It is a great place to start, and with the parents that come in with their infants, there are very simple things I can show them to do at home at any age, very simple things that they can do. They don't need to be trained. They just need to know when to do it and how it's done. And I can send them home with that knowledge. And so they can essentially unwind most stuff with their kids at home. But yeah, you know, I've got two boys that are almost 15 and 13, and they are in some pretty high risk sports. And so there's lots of falls. I think of it every time, how that's going to affect them. And you know, do I treat them every single time that something happens? No, that would be a perfect world, and it just doesn't quite happen that way, but it's nice to have that knowledge of, you know, this is what I can do for my kids and how I can help them resolve, you know, their restrictions.
That's another good point, too. Just teenagers and injuries and sports, anybody, sports, running, whatever.
Right. I think of hockey players, and I have treated several male clients that have been hockey players and football players, and or people that have fallen off of horses, you know.
Oh, sure.
And it does have quite an impact on their body,
right?
And how they store that energy from their fall or their accident or the impact that they've sustained.
And better to sort of get, you know, I mean, again, an ideal world, get that done before it becomes an injury or a more kind of locked in body memory, or, you know, to be able to kind of, okay, this happens. So that, yeah, that's really cool.
It's much easier to unwind those early on before they have a chance to set in and the body begins to compensate and adjust, you know, to compensate for that particular injury.
Right. And have it learn new ways of being that then it has to unlearn to get back to normal.
Right. It's like trying to unlearn bad habits. The body does the same thing. When you balance the body and release restrictions in the tissues, the body will want to go back to its old way of being and doing. And so you have to teach it how to be balanced, how to exist in this new pattern. Yeah. I think sometimes this type of work can come with a certain stigma that might frighten people or be concerned for what they may be concerned about what they might be getting into. And I just want to speak to that because it's a very simple work. It's really pretty straightforward. It's a physiological process of unwinding restrictions in connective tissue and fascia, and it doesn't really need to be any more than that. I think I would just like to say I don't bring anything extra into it other than, you know, what the body needs at that time. I don't know if that makes any sense. This is just a very simple approach to taking care of their bodies or to receiving healing.
So, one last question about food.
Yeah.
And I haven't done this, this is the first time I'm doing this, but this is something I want to do and keep doing because I think it's always inspiring to hear other people's ideas of a good healthy meal that maybe is quick to make. You know, we're all busy people and we're always looking for ideas. So what is, say, a good healthy meal that you like to make that's not too complicated and or maybe a snack or that kind of thing, something that you like to have with you, something that you can take with you that's healthy?
Okay. I've got lots of ideas. But I think the one meal that I'm going to talk about with you is what I had this morning for breakfast. And I can eat this for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And it's very simple. It's a little bit of quinoa, which is, you know, a grain, you mm-hmm. know, and if you cook that ahead of time, then you can use that all week long. Mm-hmm. And I like to take either spinach or kale and saute that up in some olive oil with a little bit of sea salt and put that on top of the quinoa. And then I can either poach an egg mm-hmm. or you could fry it, you know, in oil, but I like poaching an egg and then I just throw that on top of the whole mess and eat that up. And I've got a big pile of greens. I've got a little bit of grain, you know, the protein from the quinoa and of course the protein and all the vitamins and minerals that come from an egg. Mm-hmm. And it's just a very quick and easy meal to prepare.
Nice.
Very satisfying. Comfort food.
Aha. That sounds really good.
It is good. And as for a snack, you know, nuts. Mm. Nuts and a clementine are really easy to carry along. There are these bars that I will make and I'll usually use a mixture of like nut butters. So you could put anything in there, peanut butter, almond butter, cashew butter, you know, whatever works for your body, with some honey and heat that up on the stove. And then you mix some oats. So just like quick oats work the best, and some chia seeds. You could put some hemp seed in there. You could probably even put dried fruit in there. I'm trying to think if I've missed anything. And then you just mix all of that up and press it into a bar. Keep it in the fridge, cut it up into little squares. Throw a few of those in a little container when you go, and you've got a good energy protein snack.
Nice. That sounds delicious. That sounds like it would be a lot of fun creating because you can use all different nut butter flavors and have some fun with that.
I like to mix it up.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you for taking the time. Thank you for all the work you do. That's helping so many people. I know, like I said, I had a great experience, but I've talked to other people who've worked with you and said that that's been very, very helpful to them too. So it's fantastic to hear.
Thank you, Judy. I really appreciate the time mm-hmm. and just the opportunity to promote craniosacral therapy and the modality that I do and share that with other people.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Here's the little snippet that I was talking about earlier. This is where Michelle is talking about one of the people that she was working with, a woman who was a headbanger when she was a kid, talks about why that might be, and then also just kind of what happened when Michelle was working with her and really exemplifies what is possible with this work. Check it out.
I don't know if I can really explain that because really it's a sense of knowing. I mean, it's a sense of experiencing and just learning over time. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you even want to put that in, but that's really, it's a hard thing to try to describe.
Sure.
Because it really is, in my mind, like pulling, you know, pieces of a puzzle together. Mm-hmm. And when I'm putting my hands on them, it's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like I have a client who was a headbanger until she was 8 years old. Did I tell you about this?
No.
She had to bang. You know, kids that bang their head on the
wall.
Oh my gosh,
yeah.
There's a reason they're banging their head on the wall. And it's because they need to keep that craniosacral rhythm going.
Oh,
if they don't, you know, it has to be jump started. It is so severely impaired that that's their survival.
Wow.
They don't know it. You know, it's an intuitive,
right.
I need to do something. Colicky babies that need to be bounced.
Right.
They need their cranial rhythm jump started because it's so severely impaired. And eventually, I mean, if nothing is done about it, they will adapt to that because we just survive, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We just learn to survive. So she was a headbanger. And she got on the table And I picked up her legs, and the way they shifted, I was like, oh my gosh, there is some severe imbalance in her body. And she's like, she's had several accidents where she's hit her head. She's like, I don't know why I keep, you know, I've had concussions, I've cracked my skull. I mean, everything.
Wow.
I'm like, yeah.
Right. The body isn't going to. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's trying to line itself up and just survive.
Thank you, Michelle, for your enthusiasm to share this, considering your new life shift. I'm sure that your words will reach ears that will be benefited by new or clearer understanding. As promised, here is the contact information for Deb. She is also in Duluth. Her name is Deb McLaughlin. This is the person that Michelle talks about, who she saw and then she also apprenticed under when she was learning. Her website is northernlightswellness.com. She comes very highly recommended by Michelle. The other resource I wanted to share is In Motion Therapy. My understanding is they have a few folks that do cranial sacral therapy. They also do physical therapy as well. They come highly recommended from a few folks that I know that have used them, and then some other people who have had patients and clients use them and have been really happy. To reach them, their website is inmotiontherapy.com. Check either of them out if you want to learn more. Thank you again for listening. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Find us under Wellness Renaissance. Find us on Facebook at Facebook/WellnessRen and WellnessRen.com. Here is to reaching your best health.